The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Wednesday morning. Let me tell you, it is not Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. Don't even think it's Sunday and Saturday, forget about it. Forget about it. It's definitely Wednesday. That's what it is. And we are at 9.03 on the 7th of April 2021 with you till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan at rt.ie. I'm laughing because I'm thinking, forget about it. And then my brain just went vroomf. Right over to a few podcasts I was listening to when I was on a week off. One of the recommendations I got was a podcast all about Donnie Brasco. Do you remember that movie with Al Pacino and Johnny Depp? And the guy on whom it was all based, the Donnie Brasco guy himself, has a podcast where he talks to this other actor about infiltrating the mafia and how he survived. And it actually is very interesting program indeed. And somebody else recommended another one called Dead Eyes. And this isn't as good, so I'm not going to really give it a recommendation, to be honest with you. But the idea is quite funny, which is this guy was a jobbing actor 20-odd years ago. He got a call to say, do you want to be an extra on Band of Brothers, which is one of my favourite TV programmes of all time? He said, yeah, of course I do. He gets over to England, he gets in the room, and Tom Hanks, he's got about three or four lines with Tom Hanks himself. Now, obviously Hanks isn't in Band of Brothers, but he directed it and was involved with it behind the scenes. So he kind of watched the read-through, I think something like that. Anyway, turns out the guy didn't get the part. And for 20 years, he's carried this thing with him. And the reason he didn't get the part, and this is what the podcast is called, the reason he didn't get the part is because Tom Hanks was heard to say, not him, he's got dead eyes. Dead eyes, it's called. And it's a great expression. And this guy is interviewing friends of his, people like John Hamm from Mad Men, he knows. And he's trying to say to him, what does it mean? Like, do I look like I have dead eyes to you? And it drags on, like all podcasts, drags on too long, but as series go. But the idea in itself was funny. And I gave it about two or three. And then I said, OK, I kind of want to see what happened at the end. Did he meet Tom Hanks? And did they make their peace, you know, 20 years later? I don't know. But unfortunately, I wasn't invested enough to keep with it. So it's probably more about me than the poor fella making the programme. But dead eyes. And there are some people you meet who look dead behind the eyes. They just look like they're not interested. And I wonder, is it because they simply aren't interested? Or you, that is to say me or whoever they're looking at, is simply too boring for their world? Or thirdly, and this is possible too, they're just people who are born like that bitchy rest face thing that some people have. They just look miserable. But actually, they're very happy. But unfortunately, they were given this face. Or these eyes, or they? not much you can do. I mean, some people might try head to Dubai for the weekend and see what happens. But most people will just stay with what they have and roll with it until the knock at the door comes to say, you're done. Jen Sheehan won Home of the Year last night. That was a surprise. All the Home of the Year fans would have gone, really? But I'm not shocked, to be honest with you, because I know everything. No, because I was very charmed by this house. I've said it on the program here because what I was calling the TARDIS house, where you just think, well, it's pretty and it's small, and then you go in and go, okay, this is a clever person with a great eye and obviously a great personality that can bring a joy to this property, as she did, and she won, and she beat off some serious competition from around the country. Hers is a 19th century Dublin cottage, and it was just a great win and a victory for Small is Beautiful, and well done to her. She's on the front of the Irish Independent today and in many of the other papers. But in fairness to all the people and the houses that we saw, it's very generous of them to open up the houses for people to have a snoop around. And there were one or two houses I particularly loved and that I would love to live in. And some I couldn't bear. And that's the nature of the programme. But great, the judges were great. The programme was great. It was a great success. This is a great rating success. So well done to all involved, but particularly to Jen Sheehan. Now, that's a nice victory. Looks like quite a heavy award, didn't it? She kind of went over and had to have two goes, I think, to pick it up. It was big. But great old show. Really enjoyed that. That came to a conclusion, sadly, last night. It zips along. And that's Home of the Year. Staying at home. Being a stay-at-home mum is now being added as a job title by LinkedIn, and according to her.ie, keeping children alive and fed and entertained and safe is hard work. Fair point. In a single day, your assignments will see you being a chef, a referee, a driver, an entertainer, a nutritionist, a teacher, a nurse, a life coach, not to mention a crisis negotiator. Fair point. However, to many potential employers and organisations, trying to explain the fact that staying at home raising children for a few years has been an unpaid job and not a leisure activity has, up until now, not been easy. And LinkedIn have decided, okay, well, let's do something about this, because there was an article on Medium magazine that criticised LinkedIn's lack of profile options for people who've been forced out of the workforce. And they said, well, we better change this. And they're going to add a stay-at-home mum and stay-at-home dad job title. As well as this, they're also removing an old requirement that said job titles needed to be linked to an employer. And needless to say, this is a huge step in the right direction for caregivers and families, and it'll make it easier for parents to create resumes that genuinely reflect their lives, and it'll make it easier for mums and dads to network and get back into the workforce. So I think that's a good development, all things told. And then this kind of, you think it's very simple. Well, why didn't you think of it then? In the United States, the government has offered, and this is only to people living in the United States, they've offered an award of $500,000, prize money essentially, for the person who can come up with a decent face mask. I mean, this, you would think, has been done before. But really, when you think of it, it hasn't. Skin irritation is a problem. Glasses get steamed up. Happens to me all the time still. I know there's 5,000 ways of avoiding, but still can't get it right. People have difficulty communicating. Massive problem. Because back to some people's personal trait, some people are very softly spoken. And if they work behind a mask and then behind a Perspex screen and whatever, you're kind of goosed trying to make a conversation with them, or them with you, or asking questions. So there'll be a lot of raising the voice and then leaning in and saying, oh, I can't hear a word. So they really haven't got the mask thing right at all, I don't think. I mean, there are some pretty masks. There's some that are easier to wear than others. Some are completely unscientific. So this is them saying, can we just get one? The Department of Health and Human Services launched a competition, which is called Mask Innovation Challenge, Building Tomorrow's Mask. It's so simple. It makes so perfect sense. It's hoping that the challenge will improve the comfort and the utility and the protective capabilities of products that are worn day to day by the general public when physical distancing is not possible, which is going to be happening for a long time to come. And they're going to try and remedy the fact that not many masks on sale have been tested to show how effective they are, again, scientifically. So they'll open it up, and they aim to develop innovative and effective designs for mass-producible, low-cost-per-use devices to be worn by the general public in order to provide protection from respiratory disease pathogens. That's the job spec. Off you go. Where else have we... I've always been interested in the Balkans, because when I was at college, the Balkan crisis was unfolding, and I was utterly engrossed by it and appalled by it. But I see in the Examiner today, Kosovo has a newly elected president, Osmani Sadru, who is 38 years old and is now the country's youngest head of state, one of the youngest in the world, and elected to a 5-year term on Sunday by Kosovo's Assembly or Parliament, making her the Balkan nation's second female leader in the post-war period, as she took office yesterday. And she replaces Hashim Thaki, who resigned after facing charges for war crimes. And is it the war crimes scenario in the Balkans is still bubbling, because it was so recent, so you can appreciate that entirely. But anyway, congratulations to her, obviously. But 38 years old, I like that. And hopefully new beginnings there in Kosovo, because they deserve nothing less. Great picture today of Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago, his golf club place. And what he's done is, in this picture you can see it, he's with kind of a peculiar fellow called Stephen Miller, but that's for another day's work. He is at his desk, and he has recreated the Oval Office pretty much now, but in his golf club. And they point out some of the things that you can see around him. Like, there's a large picture showing the Air Force One flying over the White House. That's nice. A small statue of Donald Trump himself on a table behind the main desk, which you'd expect nothing less. The desk itself is a smaller version of the Resolute desk that is the Oval Office desk in Washington. Something I never knew, and of course he has them, but you never saw him wearing them because he'd see it as weakness. Glasses. Of course, Donald, you know, never once. Is there a picture of Donald Trump ever wearing his glasses? Were ever caught wearing them? I'll Google it immediately to find out. But you know, I've never known to wear glasses because, as I say, he'd see that as a sign of weakness. But he, as it says here, he can't look at his at Twitter and Facebook because he's banned from them. Photos of Melania and his mother Mary, a bottle of Coke, and a portion of the Mexico-US border wall, which was a gift from border control chief. So that's what's on Donald Trump's mind as he sits licking his wounds in Florida. This, as the teachers are meeting these days, the teachers, according to the independent.ie, teachers are seeking to have more time off to grieve after the loss of a loved one, describing the current 5 days as cruel. I didn't know there was mourning leave in the sense that you'd have paternity leave and maternity leave. But the annual conference of the TUI is want to get longer bereavement leave after the loss of immediate family members. And teachers who lose a spouse or partner or child or parent are allowed 5 days consecutive leave. That feels like a tiny amount of time, doesn't it, for somebody who's gone through such a horrible loss. This includes Saturday and Sunday. Civil servants, by way of comparison, get 20 days for similar family bereavements. But teachers get 5, according to this piece. Bereavement leave commences from the day of the death, unless the death occurs after school hours or on a weekend, in which case it starts the following day. It feels so cold, doesn't it? But I suppose there have to be rules. But 5 days doesn't feel right at all. So I can understand why they might be. Whatever about the rights and wrongs of the vaccine debate, that 5 days bereavement feels kind of callous, one would have thought. I'm sure there's flexibilities in at a local level in schools, but not good, not nice. Which brings me neatly to what we all need, which is a good walk on a long beach somewhere beautiful. Am I right? Lonely Planet lists Ireland's top 10 beaches. And I see, well, the top of the list I have here is my favourite beach in the country, which could be just by chance. So I'm not going to tell you what it is because I've mentioned it a few times and I don't want anyone there when the restrictions are lifted. So you can find it yourself. Also on the list, no, I'm joking, of course, it's Dogs Bay and Gertine Bay in beautiful Connemara near Roundstone, between Roundstone and Clifton in Galway. Throwmore in Dunfanaghy in Galway, in Donegal, I was there once as well. And Keane Bay, we were there. In Achill in Mayo. And Strida Strand in Sligo. Inch Strand in Kerry. Banna Strand in Kerry. Throwmore Bay in Achill Island, County Mayo. Ballyquin Beach, Ardmore, beautiful in Waterford. Ballymastocker, is that, I'm not familiar with that one, in Donegal. And Killiney Beach in County Dublin, which are the top 10. I'm sure you have plenty of suggestions for others that aren't on that list, but we won't do that today because we can't go to them and we'll only make ourselves sick with jealousy. But I noticed the Wild Atlantic Way looming large in that choice of beaches, and that comes as no surprise at all. 51551, my first cousin says, Nora in Arklow, Connor Ratliff is the chap behind the Dead Eyes podcast. Oh, okay. His mum, my aunt Greta, is originally from Arklow, County Wicklow. Very good. Well, he's very funny and he did a great job on it. And I hope he got to meet Tom Hanks at the end of it. And I don't know if he has dead eyes or not, because I actually didn't ever saw a picture of him because I was listening to his podcast. But he seems like a very affable fellow. Eilish in Limerick says, congratulations to Home of the Year winner. I had picked it out. Warm and elegant. Big isn't always beautiful. Exactly. I think that's probably what the point was, wasn't it? Eleanor was on. I work with a lady who shout talks. She must feel that her shout is muffled as her default is to pull down the mask upon greeting you and shout even more. It's unreal. Well, here's a question. Why don't we, as a species, say to someone like that when they pull the mask down, would you just pull it up? Like, why can't we do that? Like, in Germany or I think any Scandinavian country, they'd say, yeah, no, you must put the mask back on because otherwise you will give us the COVID. Whereas in Ireland, we go, ah, you're grand, yeah, no, spit it all into my mouth and my eyes. I'd love it. I haven't had COVID for months now and I must have no antibodies. So yeah, give us more. But why, you know, what is wrong with us? Because you don't, is it because we don't upset or offend? Are we kind of, you know, bent over, apologising for something we didn't do. I don't understand. My mother's 81, says Martina in Tipperary. She was a stay-at-home mum since I was born in 1967. And she always described herself as a domestic engineer. One of the greats, one of the great expressions and true stories, no doubt about it. Civil servants get 5 days bereavement leave for an immediate relative to, not 20, as the TUI suggests, says Orla. Glad to clarify it. Glad to clarify it. Doesn't make it any better or easier for any family to have to go back to work. Some people like to go back to work quickly after bereavement because it allows them to distract themselves from the actual grief itself. But that should be, I suppose there has to be flexibility. Grief is not something that you can categorise and lump into a calendar schedule, as I'm sure most of you know listening this morning. We got some seriously reflective and thoughtful texts that I want to bring to your attention about different things that we spoke about yesterday, that being Tuesday. I think did I call Tuesday Monday several times yesterday? And for that, I must apologise for freaking you all out. But you could be aware that at 9:19 this Wednesday morning, it is indeed Wednesday.